Enjoying the Lord's peace here. So beautiful. Yeah, we've got some real treats this morning. Really, I think we've got some beautiful things for all of us. I wanted to just start off by a few reminders. I want to remind you to read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Isaiah 26:12. Lord, you established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. This really speaks to the time we're living in right now, that the Lord is surprising us, accomplishing great things, and all that's being accomplished is of his doing. It's of the Lord's doing, and we're just kind of almost along for the ride. But in the prayer room this morning, I thought, Lord, you know, I began to pray, and I wanted to exhort you as well as to enter into the ministry of intercession. As God raises you up, God has been so gracious to us to add intercessors to the body, but he's also raising up intercessors. And I think we just in this hour need to be praying. We need to be pressing in prayer, just soaking everything in prayer so that we have his wisdom, we have his direction, we have his peace at this time. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 12. And just a few verses, starting at verse 35, Jesus is speaking here, and the title in my Bible says watchfulness, watchfulness. And it says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door to him. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes. And another translation, the New American Standard says, be dressed in readiness. And I love that, be dressed in readiness. And as I was thinking about this earlier today, I had this thought and then this scripture that I want to read with you and kind of leave with you. And it's this thought, that we don't have control over a lot of things. There are a lot of things we have zero control over. We don't have control over what people think about us. We don't have control over the prices at the gas pumps. We don't have control over inflation or even the government that's in power. We don't have control over those things, but we have control over what we put on. You choose your wardrobe. I got blessed this morning. Look at this. My wardrobe was added to this morning. I didn't even know I was going to receive this before I read this next scripture, but I was just blessed by Jonathan this morning, Jonathan Canning, and he sews these. He makes these, you know? Yeah, not amazing? So I want to just leave you with this exhortation, and then I'm going to invite someone to come up here. So this is the exhortation, because while we can't control those things, they come at us. You know, lies bombard us. Have you been bombarded by lies? I mean, lies, you can't even control them. They just, you kind of wake up with them, you know? C.S. Lewis has a great quote about first thing in the morning, having to push these things back, you know, waking up even to a thought, a lie, you know, or a situation that just flies in your face, and you think, well, and the lie is that this situation can never change, or this person can never change. And we begin to enter into that, and then the Lord wants to take us into another place where we begin to dress ourselves with a wardrobe of the Holy Spirit, and we see things totally differently as we're dressed in him. So this is the scripture I want to just leave with you from Colossians, and it's taken from the Message, and it's so precious. It says, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress yourself, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Sing your hearts out to God. So, just one quick note on the music festival. We are going to have an art gallery this year. So Glenda has agreed to kind of oversee it. We're going to supply her with some helpers, but we're going to turn this auditorium into an art gallery. Well, the pieces will not be for sale per se. I mean, they can all be for sale, but if the person wants to, but we're going to let every artist make that decision and just be available to speak to. And I tell you, if Dusty's art shows up here, I'm going to talk to her about buying a piece or two. Okay. So, and maybe yours too, Darren. I just met a husband of an artist last week, and you know who you are. And I want you to volunteer, those of you that can, to bring art next week. Art, beautiful art. Beautiful art, okay? It just has to be beautiful. That's all. It's the only qualification. It just has to be beautiful. Okay, here's my introduction to a dear brother. Paul said that everything he did for the strengthening of the church. He went about visiting the churches and he strengthened the churches. I feel like there's something going on right now where the Lord is strengthening us. He is strengthening us at every turn. He's sending people like he did Monday night. We got a new ministry here. It's called the Open Door. You know, we just say, you know, somebody knocks on the door and we just sense the Lord on it. We open the door and they come and we just, wow, you know, what was that? You know, it's a furtherance of what he's doing and strengthening the body, strengthening us at such a time as this. So I'm going to invite Irvin to come up in a second. Just hold on, Irvin, just for a second. And he's going to introduce his wife, Ruth, and their family. But if I didn't know anything other than the few stories that I've heard about their family and their families, you know, I know enough to know that the Father is pleased, that there's something in the heart of God that's very pleased with the stance that they have taken and the things that they have done towards people. And I'm talking about kingdom, good, beautiful things. Because I find that what life is filled with are things, you know, it says that life is made up of 90% of things that, you know, happen to us and 10% of how we respond. So I love the responses just in the stories that I've heard and how the kingdom, they move forward with the kingdom and the things of the kingdom and not away. And so I love their family. I love the strengthening that's going to occur even this morning. Come on up, Irvin. And I just appreciate you and Ruth. And they were out a couple of weeks ago at intercession. And I just turned to them and I knew they were carrying something. I really saw this brother really for the first time in the spirit. Kind of was at the roar that took place right here. That was another open door. And I'll tell you, I think it's made my top 10 list of things that touched heaven in my life, that I've seen touch heaven. Eh? That was just an incredible time. Irvin, God bless you and your family. You're going to introduce your family to us.
Well, good morning. Yeah, my name is Irvin Weber, and I am ex a lot of things. I'm going to apologize to everybody on Zoom right away because I walk around when I speak and we don't have anybody on the camera. It's just something I do. I can't stop myself. I walk a lot and I talk a lot. If it gets 3 o'clock, you guys are hungry, you're allowed to go. But before 3, probably not. I'm just kidding. I did speak for 2 solid hours at a home group in New York. I asked them partway through and they said, well, you've got the floor. I don't think they said that again. Anyway, we are former Horse and Buggy Mennonite family. And just before we got married, we switched to Carr Mennonite. And then we left that Mennonite group and we're home group. We've pretty much left every church that we've ever been close to becoming part of. And that scares a lot of people. You know, what's wrong with these people? Like, they can't settle down. But Chuck is right. It's about what God is doing, right? It's what God is doing. And some of our churches are different because of what God is doing and what he wants to do through us. And so we keep on the move, moving forward, listening to what Holy Spirit's saying, and then moving when we have the open door. So my wife, Ruth, you want to stand up? Everybody can see how beautiful you are. She is an intercessor. I think I wouldn't be standing here if it wouldn't be for her. She kept me from going and be taken out. I've had a lot of ups and downs in my life. Thank God I'm up again. But if you really want to feel what she is, you can get up at 5 o'clock every Thursday morning and join her on the firewall. It's a 24/7 prayer wall that has been started in, I think, the beginning of COVID. It's been just over the 2-year mark in July, I think was 2 years of every Thursday morning, she leads an hour. And even in the time when I was down and out, she kept going. She kept crying. She kept pushing through. And the reason I'm up here is because I mentioned to Chuck that we're going to Winnipeg. And we were in Winnipeg. And we came back. And Chuck was like, well, I want to get you to share when you come back. And I went to him when I got back. I said, you know, I can't just do a 30-second quick what happened out there, because it was a powerful thing. And even now I'm nervous about it, because it's a heavy message. But if we're willing, it'll change us. It'll change how we do church. It'll change how we do life. But first, there's got to be a spark of willingness. Anyway, I jumped ahead of myself because I just feel heavy on it. We do have kids here. I think there's three out with the Sunday school. There's three boys sitting behind my wife. I don't think they want to stand up. I don't think they want to be pointed out. They're those shy teenagers that like to enjoy other things than sitting here. But they're good kids. Aside from having a dad that's not always been perfect, they're good kids because they have a good mom, and they have a good heavenly father that supplies the things that their earthly father comes short from time to time. Then there's one more. He's been on out almost 5 years now. He's been on his own working for his uncles. So you don't see him a lot. I think he was here once or twice. We do have 7 kids, and that's okay. I know a lot of people think, wow, I'm okay with that. God has blessed us with a quiver that's full. So we're here today because God is changing church. We're here today because God has allowed me to come up here with a message that I find heavy, but it's going to change us if we're willing. So I don't know how many people are willing today, but I have this feeling, just the struggle even that my wife and I went through, even just this morning, but all week. Tomorrow morning, I start a brand new job. And we're in August, which is the 8th month, and 8 is new beginning. I'm here in August because 8 is a new beginning. I believe there's a new beginning for the church. What has happened in the last 2 years, it's brought on a lot of fear. Fear to the point where churches did Zoom only. There's still people living in that fear, and it's time to walk away from it. Because the only fear we can have in Christian life is the fear of God. So before I go in, let's just go in prayer for a bit, because I'm just feeling heavy with the message. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We can't do anything here without you. The words that I bring will go out empty unless you're here. So Holy Spirit, fill this room. Fill this room. We just release the angelic hosts that are supposed to be in here ministering to the hearts of the people. We release the activity of the heavenly hosts into this room. Father, in Jesus' name, I bind up the religious spirit, and I command it to leave to the outer darkness where it came from. I bind up this morning the spirit of fear, and I command it to leave this place and leave the hearts of the people this morning. We bind up the spirit of jealousy this morning, and we command it to go. out of our hearts, out of this place, back to the pit of hell where it came from. And Father, we release the power of the Holy Spirit upon our ears. Just touch your ears. And just pray after me. Father God, I allow the Holy Spirit to touch my ears so that I can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and what the Spirit is saying to my spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we know that your scripture says that you have caused them to be blind and to be deaf and dumb because they refuse to see you. But this morning, I release the fiery power of the Holy Spirit over our eyes, over our ears, and over our hearts, that we can be of those that Revelation talks about. They that are of the Spirit will hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. There's a lot of deep stuff in Revelations that is even partly in mystery yet. But this morning, I release the power of the Holy Spirit over every soul this morning in this room and on Zoom. Every heart, I release the fiery power of the Holy Spirit that will unlock the locked doors of the hidden things in their hearts. It will unlock the doors. It will unlock the hidden things in the heart that God wants to deal with, that God wants to get rid of, because God wants to do something with the people in this room in this season. We are in the year of freedom, 2022. We are in this year. And God is doing something, and the suddenlies are coming. The suddenlies are coming. So, Father, in Jesus' name, prepare our hearts today. Prepare our hearts today to be open to what you want to do, even in this church. Even in this church, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Who likes revival? Who's excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus? Who gets so excited when you think about revival and the showing of God, like the miracles, the signs and wonders? You know, we all get really excited and we want to be there. We want to be used by God to do something, right? So are you going to be excited to come to the altar of repentance? Are we willing to have the same hype of excitement when God is calling you to the altar of repentance? I allowed myself in Winnipeg to do that. When Winnipeg started, it was in Shaw Park Stadium, which is a baseball stadium. And the field is where the worshipers went down to worship, to dance, to laugh, to cry, to get healed. But the first night, they asked everybody to go back to their seats in the stadium and leave the field empty. And Art Lussier came up with the microphone and he started speaking, and yet he was stumbling. And I feel the same thing right now. And he said, they've done battles for Canada over and over. And every time, God starts them off with repentance. And in his mind, that was not going to be this way this time, because this was the last and the final battle for Canada gathering. They have now called it Faith, Fire, and Freedom, which is what I wear. Because we're going to have the faith to release a fire to bring freedom. Anyway, he called for repentance. And he said the biggest thing that we need to repent of as Christians, again, is allowing the religious spirit to partner with us. to allow the religious spirit to offend us or to be offended by other Christians. And it was the working of the religious spirit. And I feel from our many times of being part of a church, I can't handle the religious spirit. I'm sorry, guys, but I get annoyed when he starts to raise his head. And when people are unwilling to repent, God allows me to move on. I don't know, Chuck, how long I'm going to be here. I think you get my heart on that. Because I don't know where I fit in. But that's why we're here in 2020. God started changing Canada with a couple truckers. And they started calling it Freedom 2022. You know why? Because most of us Christians were reluctant to let go of the religious spirit. We were so caught up in what we were doing. We were so caught up in doing church, we forgot to be church. And it tears my heart apart because, Chuck said, read your Bible again. Maybe we've not been reading the Bible through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. We've been allowing the religious spirit to guide us and direct us when we're reading the Bible. And when we come to that place where there's leadership that are reluctant to accept the fact that they might have to come to the altar of repentance from time to time, there's no room for the anointing of God to flow. Why haven't we been seeing signs and wonders and miracles when Jesus said, these things shall follow them that are in the love of God? Why haven't we been seeing this? Could it be because we've partnered with the religious spirit? In Winnipeg, I had to come to that altar because I partnered with the religious spirit. And I thought, I would never do that. I partnered with the religious spirit through rejection. It comes in a way that is going to catch you off guard. And for almost 2 years, I lived in discouragement. I was at the point where I thought, God's grace doesn't cover my past. And when you're at that point, you just want it to end. That's why I have an intercessor for a wife. She kept me on the road on the way home from work. Her prayers break through because she was not partnering with that spirit. Her prayers broke through. And so we're not partnering with the religious spirit. But when I came to the grass patch on that stadium, on that baseball field in Winnipeg, and they started worshiping the one and true spirit, the Holy Spirit, they started worshiping God. I'm telling you, I cried. And I repented. I'm like, God, I am so sorry that I allowed myself to partner with the religious spirit through rejection. I cried. I don't know how long it was, but I cried for a long time. And then I started weeping for my people because I was brought up in this. I was brought up with the religious spirit working mightily in the church that I was part of. And as I did that, God started shifting something. He started shifting in my life. He started shifting things that I was able to see again. I was able to see the unity that happened in Winnipeg amongst leadership And when I was willing to repent of partnering with the Holy Spirit, I began to see that in this place, there's leadership from all over Canada that came together in that gathering. And they were of one mind, of one soul and one spirit. There was such a unity in those meetings. There was never a battle for the microphone. They would rather give the microphone to the next person. They had absolutely no need to be up in the front. And most of the things that Art wanted to do in those 3 days, he didn't get done. Because every time Holy Spirit began something and do something that was not on their agenda. But they allowed the Holy Spirit to move. And I'm telling you, it shifted the atmosphere to the point where we here today can feel it. We can break through if we find that place of repentance, of partnering with the religious spirit. I honestly think the religious spirit is behind every other spirit that we're dealing with. And sometimes the things that we think that we're dealing with, I thought I was dealing with depression, but it wasn't. It was actually the reason I was dealing with depression was because I've allowed myself to partner with the lies of the religious spirit. It wasn't the people that he worked through that were the problem either, which is what I thought for a while. It wasn't the organization that those people were part of. It was me. It wasn't their fault. Yes, they did something they probably shouldn't have done. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was me. And unless we're willing to see me, the problem, we can't repent. Repentance comes when we realize that I am the problem. I am the problem. And that's when repentance can come, freedom can come, and the power of the Holy Spirit can shift and change a person in the blink of an eye. Worship began that next morning. Maybe it was even later that night, but I think it was the next morning. And so it was Friday night, so Saturday morning and Saturday evening, I danced in worship again. I mean, it was my style of dancing. It wasn't like, you know, beautiful Glennie or whatever, right? It was just jumping and shouting and screaming. And it was a freedom, right? And that's what we're looking for. A freedom that allows us to be us. I'm never going to be Chuck. I'm just never going to be Chuck because I'm not supposed to be Chuck. I'm never going to be Graham. I might be able to pick up the accent. I might be able to sound like Graham. Maybe if I eat the English cucumbers. Just a little side joke on that between him and. But the problem is, a lot of the times we look unto the big name speakers. Or like Art Lussier, you know, Battle for Canada, he's there changing the world. He's the big guy, he's the good guy, and you just want to be like him. Don't. Just don't be like the big guy. Find out what Holy Spirit wants you to be, and you're going to become like the big guy. But unless you partner with the Holy Spirit and stop the partnership with the religious spirit, you'll never find who you are. You'll never find what Holy Spirit had designed you before you were even a twinkle in your parents' eyes. So do we want to partner with him? Do we want to partner with Holy Spirit? Are we willing here this morning to search our hearts and cry out to the one that can free us for real. Let's make some of this legal yet with scripture, right? I think, Roland, I got the order right there. Let's go with Zephaniah. Chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version because that's what I brought this morning. It says, gather yourself together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation. Before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. We all know that there is dark times coming. I don't know if you know of the prophet Barry Wunsch, if you've listened to his words at all. Lately, he's been saying it every time I listen to him, and that's, if the people would know what's coming, the altars would be full. Something is coming, guys, and we can't dodge it. We have not been seeking the face of the Lord honestly for far too long in the church. And the church is going to be hurt and hit by it. What if we came to repentance for ourselves, for our children, for the next generation? What if we were able to break off that grip of the religious spirit so that the youth can start having revival? What if revival already is in their hearts, but we haven't had a place for them to allow it to spring forth? What if there's a group of youth and children that have been anointed for such a time as this to take this nation to a new level of revival, and we have not stewarded the place for them to allow them to bring it forth? What if we would find a place of repentance so that we are able to see what God has in store for this nation? Yes, there might be not so pleasant times coming, but the scripture says, keep your eyes on the prize. If we look past these next few dark times and we see how much light is already here, that's going to burst forth, that's going to shine forth, that is going to completely rock this nation and then spread to the world. What if we were able to find the place of repentance and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do now? What if we were able to set aside how we do church, you know, sing a few songs, limit our time to like 40 minutes. You know, it's 12 o'clock now. I should be done. I don't feel done. The burden is still here. And I want to apologize, but Holy Spirit is not allowing me to. He is so excited about doing something in your hearts that time doesn't matter to him. But if you need to go, I'm okay with that. But God is doing something here this morning. Something real, real deep. And it's going to ignite, if it's allowed to, something in this place that has not happened before. We're in Canada. We're called to be a healing to the nation. We're called to release healing. Are we willing to change? Are we willing to come to this place where Holy Spirit can work through us? And yes, we've had lots of signs and wonders and miracles in the past. But what if that is in pale comparison to what God wants to ignite now? What if in this last time to bring the harvest in, the end time harvest that is so, so important, where thousands upon millions of souls enter into the kingdom before time stops? What if this is this time where he wants to ignite such a fiery, humble revival that allows this harvest of souls into the kingdom? What if it's here and we're just about to miss it because we're not willing to come to repentance? We're not willing to say, okay, you know, we're done with religious spirit. We're willing to say, okay, God, we can't do the same thing over and over and expect different results. You know, God invented the wheel in the book of Acts. Our wheel right now is so far out around that it's a bumpy ride. But we don't have to invent the wheel. We just need to go back to how the wheel was designed. You know, they uttered what the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And they were willing to accept each other with the utterance that happened. If they spoke in tongues and it sounded a little off, that was okay. Somebody blew the shofar, that was okay. You know, there's things that God likes to do. I watched a video yesterday of, I think it was Robin Bullock, where he was worshiping, and they had the First Nations together and in a tent. It was pouring rain outside. And he was worshiping, and he cried out to God and said, look, I've made every sound here tonight that I know how to make. And God says, good, get out of the way. You know what happened? God started to play worship music his way through the speakers. They covered the piano. The guys had their hands off the guitars. The drummer, she was on her knees crying. The worship leaders, the two girls at the front, were flat on their face. The lady that was supposed to be playing the piano, she threw something over it and she was sitting down and they were listening to the one speaker. And this beautiful sound was coming out. And it would get louder and then it would go down. At one point, Robin started to speak and he had like halfway through the second word. And he stopped and said, oh, Holy Spirit just told me to shut up. You know, this whole thing is not so much about us as we think or we like to think. I see the apostles in such a place that they were willing to realize it's nothing about them, that going to jail or going to prison or to be beat or stoned was not that hard. Because they knew it wasn't about them. They knew where they were going. No, this doesn't have to be hard at all. The hardest part is between here and here. Some of us have like a fence there. It's like, yeah, my heart wants to go to the altar, but my mind is not willing to go. We are so much a nobody and yet so much a somebody at the same time that in the natural, we have a hard time with it. Because here, we are absolutely a nobody. But in the spirit realm, we are so much a somebody in God's eyes. He delights in us. He loves on us. He pours out his blessings on us. Even when we've come short. Even when we've come short. So help us, Holy Spirit, to become a nobody to the point where we know we are somebody to where it doesn't matter what people think about us. It doesn't matter what people say to us. We know, Holy Spirit said, He's going to partner with us. He's going to love us. He's going to strengthen us in the times when we're out of strength. And that's what I experienced. Like, there was times when I was so low, I couldn't handle it. And yet I knew that Holy Spirit is there. Jesus walks with us, even when we refuse to talk with Him. He's still walking with us. And as soon as we say help, we're talking to Him. And then we think of the song that Chuck played the one morning there. I'm just talking to Jesus. It's such a beautiful song. I downloaded that song on my phone, and I've used it so many times. Thank you, Chuck, for sharing that song. This is, we just need to talk to Jesus. And that's all repentance is. It's not coming up to the front and making a big show. It's not, you know, it's just talking to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I've made it all about me. I've tried to be somebody in the way that I wasn't created to be. And I forgot to be the somebody that I was created to be. I know it's a little play on words, but just get my heart. Because right here, this is my gift and my calling to be speaking like this, but this morning I didn't want to. I don't want to be there. But in the spirit, I'm a somebody with carrying a gift that is needed. So I don't really have an option not to, right? Every one of you has a gift. And even the people on the Zoom, like, I understand when people can't be here for distance or for sickness. But if you're just not coming because of fear, we're missing you. You guys are carrying somebody, something that is needed here in this building. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And that is the reason why. So everybody on Zoom, if you at all possibly can, start coming back to church. Zoom is okay, but you're carrying something that we need. So you can find the place of repentance even on Zoom. But I believe that some of you right now, you're going to be coming back as a new person with the gift that is needed in here. And the spirit of fear will no longer keep the gifts away from this place. Because when you go to a place like we did in Winnipeg, and we see everybody involved in leadership, and I saw the different gifts in operation. Like, Art is sort of he's like a breaker guy. Like, he comes up and blasts up and blows off, and then he gets Mark Brisba up to finish up and heal, and to say gentle words to get people back to that place. But when you see that two things working together, like, Art just cracked open the nutshell. Like, he just bam, bam, boom, and it's right there. And then Mark comes in and he says something that lifted a heavy burden off my shoulders. And he said, God does not bring rejection, but God allows rejection to happen to the level of anointing that He wants to take you to. And all of a sudden, that whole 2 years of feeling rejected was gone. So it wasn't God that rejected me, but He allowed me to go through it because He knew that He's going to get me out of it for such a time as this. Even today, if I would not have come out of that, I would not have been able to go to Winnipeg and receive what I did. And Chuck wouldn't be looking at me as like, wow, we need to get this guy to pray over us. Like he did in the prayer room a couple of weeks ago. It's like, you got something to release, Irvin, go for it. Because Chuck is so sensitive to the Spirit. And he's willing to allow something to happen. And that's why something's going to shift in this month, Chuck. That's why this place is been set up the way it has been set up because of the willingness in the hearts of the people to come on their faces and says, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I sent my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. So here we are. There's times when, like, man, have I failed today? What are we going to do? Like, this is bad. Like, I'm a leader. I just messed up. You know, you want to throw in the towel. But that's not what he says here. He says he's willing to work with us. He's willing to sit down with us and have a little chat and say, you know, all we want to do here is purify that part. All that he really wants to do at that time is saying, you know what? It's okay to be a nobody, because with me, you're a somebody. But that's the only place you can be a somebody. That's with him. That's the only place. It's the only reason that he gives us gifts and callings on our life. Because he has designed us to be a somebody with him. If we separate that with him and we use our gift and calling as a somebody down here, our heads get a little too big. Our heads get too big. And we can stumble and we fall and there's no way out.
But God,
he's purifying us in this time. Let's go to Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3, and then I'm going to jump over to 18 and 19. And then I might go into chapter 44. I'm trying to not watch the clock because I know it's past lunchtime. But when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So no matter what we're going to go through in this next season of our life, the next season of this church, the next season of whatever church you are part of, maybe you're just here this morning for one time, doesn't matter. But he always has a way if we're willing to go low. Sometimes the doors are so low that we have to strip all our baggage off to get through. The only way to get through the eye of the needle, and I think that was like a reference to the one of the doors in Jerusalem in the wall. If they came in, like, say, after hours, if for better words, the only way the camels could get through that gate was to strip all their baggage off. And they had to go low. But if we're willing to do that, there's a way of escape. There's a way to come through the darkness, no matter what comes against us. Because in verse 18, it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So when we're willing to take that baggage off, like when I was in the field And I was willing to admit that I was the problem, that my life was like this. What I was doing was I was releasing the baggage of the former person that God offended by being rejected over and over and over. When I got rid of that, then I don't remember those former things, but we spring forth into the new. We spring forth into the new. Because in the new thing that he's doing, he will make a road where there is no road. He will cause water to flow where there was no water. What he's saying is he has every provision in the storehouses of heaven ready to be released to you in that time. In the time when you're at that point where you think it's over, look out. Just call unto him to release the storehouses of heaven. Maybe the only thing he'll give you is snowshoes to get through the snow. You might still have to go through the snow, but he will give you what you need to get through. Maybe he will just have a rowboat there when you need to cross the river to the other side. You'll still have to cross the river. Look, guys, we're still having to go through this time. But he's going to have the tools and the equipment exactly in the moment when we need it, if we're willing to come to this place. So let's go to chapter 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no other God. And who can proclaim as I do? Let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these things to them. Do not fear nor be afraid, for I have not told you from that time and declared it. You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. This is the one and only true God. And the reason that we can stand in such confidence this morning, that no matter what happens with our political system in our country, no matter what happens to the depression that the religious spirit and the spirit of darkness wants to put on God's people, no matter what happens, there's still only one God. There is still only one God. And God is already a step ahead of us. He knows exactly at what time of this week we're going to come to that river and the Egyptians are behind us. He knows that. Even though we have no idea how big the river is, or even if there is a river that we have to cross this week, but he does. And this is where he's telling us there is no other God. This is the reason why I'm inserting this. Because as we are at the point where we do not remember the former things, and we are declaring a new thing is happening, something is rising up in our spirit and saying, God, we are so on board today. We are so excited about this new thing. I have no idea how it's going to look. I have no idea what it's going to be about. I don't know if I'm going to be a nobody or somebody or everybody. It doesn't matter, because he has already predestinated the route of escape that he has planned for you. He has, because there is no other God. He has even declared it. Now, that's a little prideful, isn't it? You know, how can somebody say, there is no other God? I am the only one. The reason is because he's outside of our sphere. He's not subject to time. He's not subject to the natural realm. He's supernatural. He's a supernatural being or person or whatever you want to use that word. So he can declare things that would seem wrong for us. So can we allow our minds to be pushed down to our hearts, to connect our spirit with our mind? Are we willing to allow ourselves to make that connection this morning and realize that, yeah, we might be a nobody standing before a river we can't cross, but we have to, and realize that we are somebody when we reach up and grab the hand of God, and he will take us across the water. This is where we have the power. This is where signs and wonders and miracles happen. It's when we are willing to be a nobody so that we can reach up to somebody and do the things that are meant for us to do. We don't have the power to do it. We have the power not to do it. We have the power to say, no, I don't believe you, God. But there's such a blessing when we say, God, I believe you. I am in need. The person I'm praying for is in need. There's nothing I can do anymore. Sickness has maybe taken on the body to the point of almost death. But God, you're somebody. You're the person. You're the one that even created us. You're the one that said that you have power over the devil. So when I'm in Christ Jesus, I have power to step on the snake's head, right? We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can we settle that in our hearts this morning, that we're joint heirs? Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles. I don't do signs and wonders and miracles, but I am in him who does. So therefore, we can have miracles happen. We can have healings happen. We can have words of prophecy. We can speak into the future. We can see that the enemy is coming, and we can build a hedge around somebody with our prayers. Because we are on the winning side. We are on the winning side, and the devil is on the losing side. No matter how big he thinks he is. You know, somebody once told me, you know, God is almighty, but Satan has a lot of power. And I'm like, no, 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 no. You got that totally wrong. This is the God that I serve. Satan might have a lot of power, but God is almighty. It's the exact same wording, Irvin. No, it's not. It changes the meaning of 180 degrees. It goes from, wow, we got to be careful because the enemy could hinder us. It could, the enemy could overpower us. We're like, what are we going to do, God? To the point where it's like, so you're coming at me again, are you? You know what? God is bigger than you. I don't have to be afraid. I just have to be in him. And so we get into the word and we have a little talk with Jesus. And we tell them all about our troubles. And then, whoa, the enemy is brought low to where he needs to be. When we're somebody in him, we're a nobody to the devil. When we're a nobody to ourselves and a somebody in Jesus, that channels what God wants to do in the earth. Are we willing this morning? Let's go to, I was going to do more. There's more about repentance, but let's go straight to Romans. I think that's what I had, Romans 11. So it's going to read in chapter 11, verse 26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their obedience. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown to you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Just think about that. It mind boggles you when you're reading that in the natural. It took me for a little bit of a loop when I was reading that. How did God allow them to be disobedient? And it was like Holy Spirit just said, what if they partnered with the religious spirit and not with the Spirit of God? And then God allowed them to turn their way. What if we have political people in our nation that were unwilling to listen to the Spirit of God? Or what if we have people in leadership right now because there were people of God that were unwilling to listen to the Spirit of God and to be able to be in that place? You know, this whole setup, when I'm looking at it, all of a sudden it's like what's going on in our nation with all our political issues and downfalls and everything there. It's like God has mercy for them too. You know, Justin Trudeau could be saved just like you and I were. The crimes he's committed are not unforgivable. God's mercy, it will do that if he's willing. You know, he might be almost willing. Like he must be tired of being puppet in another person's hand. Like, think about the poor guy. He's got a soul. He's got a God giving him opportunity again and again and again. And yet he continues to allow himself to be used by the wrong powers. Do we have anybody different when you look at the leaders? Do we have anybody different? I'm not going to answer that question because I don't know the heart in them. God does. What God is setting up, I believe, is an opportunity for all those people to come to this verse. Even though they were disobedient, even though they allowed the enemy to work through them, what has it done? It has caused a dividing between truth and untruth. There's no more of this mixed stuff. There's no more 50 shades of gray. You know, I'm in the housing business, right? You build houses and the siding is all the same color now. Like it's either gray, black, or gray, or gray, or gray. That's the only color that people can imagine anymore. And this is the modern look. No, it's a look of a generation that lives in depression. They have no more imagination things. They look online. That's what everybody else is doing. This looks good. We don't have to do anything else. They say that's what we want. God has caused us to be imaginative. We imagine things, beautiful things. Chuck likes art. He wants beautiful art in this gallery in here, right? But you know what? His beautiful and my beautiful might be two different things. Look out. Chuck's like, yeah, you know, I don't like that, Glennie. Sorry. And I'm like, Glennie, do you see this? Do you see that right in here? There's actually an angel right there. Do you guys see that? I see it. That's where there's a difference in what people see, what's beautiful. But once you have a whole subdivision of houses with black, gray, 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 and a dark brown, that's not art. That's like just one picture of that after, and the whole gallery is the same picture of the same angel doing the same thing. Angels aren't like that. The angels that I've seen have been doing something different. And the reason I saw them was because I needed help. I had an angel that looked like the neighbor chasing my cows back into the pen one night when I had a commitment to go somewhere and they were out. It took him 10 minutes. The next day they were out again, it took me 4 to 5. See, angels come and do what we can do if we're willing to allow them. Sometimes they do it anyway and we just don't catch it. But God is about to set such an anointing on this place to see the supernatural. God has been hovering over this place. He's been so hovering over this place. Some of us just have to get out of the way. I don't like saying that, but it is what it is. It's what the Spirit put on me. Because God has mercy for those out there that have not yet obtained mercy. We might be what would be the word, the catalyst that he wants to work through to bring that mercy and grace back to the people that should have it, back to the other nobodies that don't dare set foot in here, or back to the other nobodies that know that there's somebody, but they don't have a connection with anybody in here. Are we willing? Verse 34, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is where we come to it. Who has known what the Lord is about to do? Even the prophets, they look through a glass darkly. They prophesy that the true prophets will prophesy what they see. How are we going to interpret it? How is it actually going to play out? You know, that's what I like about Barry Wunsch. He's real. I was one of the things, Pauline Wilcox, she asked me to share last weekend. She wanted me to impart to others what Barry imparted to me, because she was telling the people that this guy is totally changed. He came back from Winnipeg, totally changed. And I agree with that. And what happened is, like, it was the Sunday morning. Barry was, I guess, walking through the crowd. And I'd been up dancing with the flag and I needed some water. So I went back to get water. So I'm walking, and out of the corner of my eye, I see Barry Wunsch, not even really recognizing who he is. Like, I heard his name. I haven't really before listened to him that much. But the spirit in me leapt so much that my body actually lifted off the ground. Like, I was, oh! And yeah, that, I know it's not a Christian thing to do, but it, I couldn't stop. Like, it was just like, woof. And he saw it and he came over and he just gave me this great big bear hug. And all he said was, holy, 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 holy. There was an impartation. But I told Pauline, I said, where I changed was on the grass. That's where the change happened. That's where we're this morning. I'm not sure how to end this. This isn't my church. I don't know how you do altar calls, but I feel to just open it up for people to come to repentance wherever they're at. And I'm going to try and sing a little bit. Scott, I think it's Scott. Could you just play the piano very lightly? No words, just. And you're free to go. If you guys need to go, you're in a rush. I'm sure Chuck would be glad if you all stayed and became filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit so that he has lots of help in here. You know, he needs volunteers. All that stuff, you know, the Holy Spirit starts convicting. But if you need to go, we understand that as well. But I believe that Holy Spirit wants to move in our hearts. And it doesn't have to be up at the front. It doesn't have to be in the back corner. It doesn't have to be. It just has to be in your heart. So wherever you feel comfortable, I don't know if I have to lay hands on you at all. I just feel the Holy Spirit is so ready. And our hearts are so ready this morning, that he's going to touch you and you're going to find your place on the grass the way I did. And it's going to change you. So if you want change, go for it. If you don't want change, please try it. Please just try it. Because from this time forward, I believe we're going to need it. We're going to need this anointing that's going to come at the place of repentance. So, Father, we just come before you. We commit this to you. We know, Holy Spirit, that you are delighted in making changes in our hearts. So we just release you, Holy Spirit, to come and hover over our hearts now.